Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. Incidentally, welcome to morning prayer, but we started setting up some tea and coffee, so we'll have that every morning, so you just come in and grab some. Luke chapter 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And it came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He therefore began saying to the multitudes who were going out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And also the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the multitudes were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none, and let him who has food do likewise. And some tax gatherers also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. And some soldiers were questioning him, saying, what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force, or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Now while the people were in a state of expectation, all were wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he might be the Christ. John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and his winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations also he preached the gospel to the people. But when Herod the Tetrarch was reproved by him on account of Herodias, his brother's wife, and on account of all the wicked things which Herod had done, he added this also to them all, that he locked John up in prison. Now it came about when all the people were baptized that Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And when he had began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being supposedly the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Matthath, the son of Levi, the son of Malchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Hesli, the son of Nagai, the son of Moth, the son of the son of Simon, the son of Josek, the son of Jodah, the son of Jonan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kossam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mattath, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Mileah, the son of Mena, son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nahshon, the son of Abinadab, the son of Admin, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Sarag, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Haber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphax, and the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalal, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, and the son of Adam, son of God. Amen. Now let's look at a couple things here. We see the introduction of John the Baptist, and we actually was already introduced to John in the first part of Luke, and now we get to see John actually in the flesh, and he comes and he comes out with like gangbusters, man, right? He hits a scene, and it's fire and brimstone, right? He just comes and says, man, you guys need to repent. And you got to understand, he's speaking into this time of people where they put a lot of their emphasis on who they were. Notice in the scriptures here, in verse 7, 8, and 9, right, he says, you begin to speak to the multitudes who are going out to be baptized, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It says, therefore, bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. You know, and he's continuing on the story. And what was happening to a lot of the Israelites during this time, they relied on their genealogy, right? They relied on their parentage, right? They relied on Abraham and on their forefathers. And so they thought, okay, we have good genes. I don't need to do anything else. You know, they put so much of their confidence, right, in their forefathers that they forgot to live a life worthy of God in this time, right now. You know, and if we can bring that application to us, you know, and in a lot of ways, I think we, in you know, like I know in my heart I do this all the time, but I get away with murder because I feel like, God, you love me. I'm your son. You know, you think I'm special. You know, oh, you'll forgive me for this. You know, oh, you'll forgive me for that. You know, and we have this kind of this flawed mentality in our minds. And because we know that God will forgive us, you know, and we understand that maybe a little too much, we kind of live our life, you know, as if, you know, we can do anything we want to. That there won't be any consequences of the things that we do. And John the Baptist comes to the scene, especially during this time, and says, listen, people, it's not going to work like that. Right? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is going to be thrown into the fire. And he's telling these guys, you get your life in order, right? You shore up your life. You know, because he's saying here, look, don't keep, you know, appealing to Abraham. Because I tell you what, man, you think you're sons of Abraham. God can speak to these stones, and he can raise up his own kids to Abraham. In other words, you know, to these people here, I know you think you're the chosen. I know the Messiah is going to come through your line, but listen carefully. Right? Just because, you know, that is a fact, just because of that, it doesn't mean that you're righteous before God. You know, and like Abraham's, right, it says, Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And in the Jews in this time, they felt they were already righteous because they were children of Abraham. You know, and so I think as an application for us, we need to be really careful, you know, that we can automatically assume that we're righteous because we're Christians. You know, we can assume we're righteous because we go to church. You know, oh, yeah, I must be a good person. I go to church. You know, I give my tithe. You know, and God comes on the scene and says, no, that's not the way it works. Right? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is going to be thrown into the fire. And he uses a very specific phrase here, right? He says, bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. So the Jews, don't rely on your privilege. Right? Don't rely on your heritage. Bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. In other words, he's saying that if we're truly repenting, if we're truly, you know, sorry for what we've done, there are fruits that come alongside of that. You know, if I'm fighting with my wife and, you know, like, let's say I ignore Lisa all the time, you know, and I say, Lisa, God, I'm so sorry for that. I'm so sorry for ignoring you. You know, and then right after I say that, I just keep ignoring her, right? You know, in her mind, it's like, well, I don't know how sincere you were with your apology. And I don't know how sincere or if there's real change of heart. And you can put this in any relationship that you have. You know, you can maybe fight with your parents and say, Mom, how come you don't trust me? You know, how come you don't give me the benefit of the doubt? You know, and the next thing you know, you go out and you come back and your parents start accusing you and all these things, you know, and even though they say, sorry, I'm sorry, yeah, I'll trust you from now on, and they don't trust you still. You know, then you feel like, what's the deal? I don't think you really trust me at all. You know, and in the same way, you know, John's telling these guys, if there's repentance, there'll be fruit that's attached to that. And how do we know he's speaking in this context? Look what these guys ask. He says, okay, you know, they're getting this idea, right? Remember, think like a first century Palestinian, right? They're getting the idea of what John is saying. And so they get, so what should we do? What do you want us to do? And what does he go to? He points to specific actions in life. Tax collectors. Well, don't take more than what you deserve. You know, you guys know the whole story of tax collectors, right? They were actually emissaries working for the Roman government, but they were Jewish people. And so they were stealing from their own people. So, you know, if they owed a $1,000 tax, they charge $2,000, give $1,000 to the Roman governor, and keep $1,000 for themselves. And he says, don't overcharge people. Just take what people owe for you. You know, if you see a brother in need, right, go help him out. If you have food and you see someone in need, give them some food. You know, if you got clothes and someone's, you know, hungry, you know, or someone's cold, give them your clothes. You know, and then he gets, and after the tax gatherers, he gets these soldiers. So what should we do? You know, I mean, this is, you know, I love these kind of questions, and especially, you know, as we read the Bible, I like it when people just ask God, you know, or ask men of God very specific questions. God, what do you want me to do? And these guys say, so what should we do? And the Lord tells them, he says, look, you know, in verse 14, don't take money by anyone from force. Don't accuse anyone falsely. and be content with your wages. You know, two of those things are outward actions. One of those things is an inward action. You know, but he's basically dealing with things of justice. He's telling these guys, be honest. Be honest. Have integrity. You know, and I think in our lives, you know, actually, if you really think about this, this is stuff they should have been doing already. You know what I mean? Fruits of repentance are things that we should already be doing anyway. That's what these fruits are. You know, and even though repentance, a lot of times we feel like repentance is an inward thing. You know, like, how can people see my repentance? You know, like, I'm really sorry. You know, that's the whole thing. I don't know if you've ever gotten in an argument with someone that you're really close with, you know, but it's hard to express in words that you're sorry. You know, I mean, you know, probably my wife, I don't know, probably boy, honestly, some of you guys that are married, you guys probably, you know, understand what I'm saying, right? You know, if our husbands, you're like, we mess up and we say we're sorry, it's hard to, you know, I mean, you believe it, hopefully, you know, but at the same time, it's hard to judge what's happening inwardly, you know, and so you need to see fruits of that outwardly. You know, and even though a lot of times as believers, we feel like repentance is an inward action or inward motivation, but it may start there, but the fruit is outward action. And every single one of these guys, right, when they asked, it was something outward that happened. You have food, give one of your tunics. You have food, go share your food. You know, if you collect taxes, don't collect more than you need to, right? Don't take money by force. You know, don't accuse anyone false. Right? These are all outward actions, you know, that happen in our lives. And we need to be, you know, we need to come to this realization that if we're really repenting before the Lord, if we're really sorry about things that happen, right? I mean, if you're, you know, if you're doing things, you know you shouldn't be doing and you're sorry for that, you know, stop doing it. You know what I mean? That's the fruit of repentance, that you cut it out. You know, if you're having problems, with different things, you know, get rid of whatever impetus or whatever stimulus it is and just get rid of it. That is an outward action. You know, as a high school, past years ago, you know, invariably you got little kids that get involved in pornography, right? And so we're always constantly talking to kids about pornography, you know. And I'm just like, well, just cut it out, right? And you know, I mean, it's not to gross anyone out, but eventually, most, you know, when they get pornography, they also get into masturbation, right? And so you tell these guys, well, cut it out, don't do it anymore, you know. And then invariably enough, you know, you have to go to the root and say, do you have anything at home? Right, that will cause this stimulus to happen. Get rid of it. You know, at first, I should just tell them, just cut it out. You know, and they would come week after week after week, right? And I'd say, okay, let's go back to square one. What do you have in your house? Get rid of these things. You know, for a while, myself and a bunch of our teachers, we go house to house and do collections. You know, and we burn these things, right? You know, it's kind of like a ritual that we did. It's kind of purification ritual. You know, and just simply to say that get rid of the stimulus, that is a fruit, right, of repentance. You say, God, I'm sorry for what I've been doing. I'm sorry for what I've done. And so get rid of everything else that's a stimulus to what you've been doing. It just makes sense. You know what I mean? You know, you're sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend and stuff. Cut it out. You know what I mean? Stop doing that. You know, and not only that, just cut out that relationship. You know, God's not going to bless something like that. You know what I mean? That's fruits of repentance. You know, it's not merely just saying sorry or saying, God, you know, man, I'm so sorry about this. Please forgive me. Right? There's action B, C, D, and E that come to effect. This is fruits of righteousness, right? These are fruits of repentance that come in our lives. And the amazing thing is there's a scripture in James, right? And James says, I'm sorry, it's in Hebrews. And Hebrews says, the commandments of God are not burdensome. You know what I mean? He actually says in there, says, you have not shed blood in your fight against sin. Now, you've not gone to the point of shedding blood for that. In other words, you haven't really tried so hard. You know, it hasn't really cost you anything, you know, in your fight against sin. You know, and he says, in that place, you know, it's just, you know, as you don't worry about these things, you know, and so we need to really take the next step because the commandments of God are not burdensome. And when God asks us to do something, it's something that we should already be doing. These tax collectors, they should not be ripping people off. These soldiers shouldn't be ripping people off. These guys should be content with their wages. I mean, they agreed to do this job, right? You know, so many of us that are not content with our wages, you know, I mean, you're working. You already agreed to it. You know what I mean? So cut your complaining. You know, it just makes it really clear. I got to speak that to myself more than anyone else, right? Just cut my complaining, you know, and things. And you know, because it's already agreed. It's something that should already be happening in our life. Right? And this is what God wants to tell us through John the Baptist. You know, and this is how he wants to really speak to us. And this is why it was a very important ministry that he comes before the Lord. Because see, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says here, he'll come with the Holy Spirit and he'll come with fire. You know, he's that unquenchable fire that it's talking about. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes as judge, he's going to come with that fire. And so John comes before and says, listen, get your life in order, man. Right? Get your life in check because the fire is coming. The Holy Spirit's coming. And our sins, right? The things that keep us away from God will keep us away from the power of the Holy Spirit. And even more so that we need to get our life straight before Him. Amen? So let's close our eyes. If there's things that the Lord Jesus has been convicting us of in our life, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord. I should say pray to the Lord for forgiveness. But ask the Lord for Plan B. Lord, how do I bring forth fruits of repentance? True repentance will bring forth fruit automatically. It's like Jesus says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And as we examine our life today, if we're not really sorry, we should really ask the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. Pray the prayer of David in Psalm 139. Search me and try me, O God, and see if there are any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So I encourage you to go before the Lord and just take care of business. He wants a pure church. He wants a pure bride. His heart is to bless and empower a pure bride. A lot of times we forget that His name is not just Spirit, it's Holy Spirit. He's holy. By nature of holiness, you can't touch anything that's unholy. In some ways, it may be even futile to pray when we regard sin in our hearts. And Isaiah says that God will not hear.